Are you an expert at rolling with the punches? Let's see. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
We have things that happen to us that are unwanted, many times unwanted, many times unwarranted, which means that you didn't cause this to happen. It happened to you. Someone else did something to you, and you didn't want this to happen. Hey, what do you do when that kind of stuff happens, when you lose big time? How do you roll with the punches? Well, we can learn from Joseph.
He can heal every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from his heart.
What do you do when the punches of life just keep coming at you? Will you let your heart get bitter, or will you trust God? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And today, you're going to hear an encouraging message from the amazing story of Joseph, a man who, despite his circumstances, waited faithfully for the Lord and was abundantly blessed. The message is from Pastor Jeff's new series, Life Goes On, one of our special thank you gifts for your support this month. And you can get all the details at fromhisheart.org. I'll tell you more later. Now, though, open your Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Here's Pastor Jeff with the practical and timely message called Rolling with the Punches.
Life is filled with punches. It's filled with storms. It's filled with difficulties and problems. And if we don't learn how to face a new normal, we'll never win. We'll never move forward. We'll just get stuck in the difficulties of life. We have things that happen to us that are unwanted, many times unwanted, many times unwarranted, which means that you didn't cause this to happen. It happened to you. Someone else did something to you, and you didn't want this to happen. And you say, what gives, God? Why is this happening to me? Now, the poster child for bad things happening to him that were unwanted and unwarranted is Joseph. Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph. There is nothing in the Bible, in the account of Joseph, that says anything negative about this guy. You know, we have reams of material about David, and we have good things about David, and then we have some not so good things about David. Well, Joseph has a number of chapters in the book of Genesis, never anything negative said about him. Now, he was a sinner because he was human, and he wasn't a perfect guy, but he was an example that you and I can look to and follow. He was a guy who had to learn to roll with the punches because things happened to him that were really, really hard to deal with. He had 10 older brothers. He was the favorite. He was number 11 in 12 brothers. He was the favorite because he was the son of his dad's favorite wife, Rachel. His dad was Jacob. Jacob's name got changed to Israel. Israel, Jacob had 12 sons. They're called the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, Joseph is number 11. His 10 older brothers hated him because he was daddy's favorite and because he had a dream that his brothers were gonna bow to him. And his brothers didn't like that dream. And they didn't like Joseph. They were plotting together one day about Joseph because they called him that dreamer. And they ended up putting Joseph into a pit when they were away from dad because dad would have protected Joseph, but daddy wasn't around. So they put 17-year-old Joseph into a pit and they were gonna kill him. But then they decided, no, we better not kill him. Let's sell him into slavery. And that's what they did. And they got some silver for Joseph and they sold him into slavery. And Joseph went from being daddy's favorite son to now all of a sudden I'm on a caravan going down to Egypt as a slave. I'm sold into this guy's house named Potiphar and I'm a slave there. No fault of my own. And so what do I do as a slave? Well, I'm gonna be the best slave they've ever had. And so that's what he did. And then he gets lied about by Potiphar's wife and he ends up in prison. I mean, you talk about getting punched over and over and over again. You know, I think there are lots of people under the sound of my voice today, and you can relate to punches being thrown your way, difficulties coming, things that really hurt. Maybe your spouse says, I don't want to be married to you anymore. I found somebody else. Maybe your job says, hey, we're shutting down. Sorry, here's your pink slip. Hey, what do you do when that kind of stuff happens, when you lose big time? How do you roll with the punches? Well, we can learn from Joseph. Joseph is an amazing man, but he's not Superman. He's just a man. And what one man can do, another man can do. Another woman can do. So let's look at his story. We'll pick it up in Genesis chapter 39. He is working as a slave for Potiphar. Potiphar's captain of Pharaoh's bodyguard. And Potiphar's wife notices Joseph. And she takes a liking to Joseph. Joseph is a young guy. He starts at 17, so maybe now he's in his early 20s. And she looks at him, and man, she was singing that Elvis song. He's just a hunk of burning Hebrew. And she said, I want to have a relationship with Joseph. And so she keeps telling Joseph, come to my bedroom and lie with me. And he wouldn't do it. He said, no, how could I do this great evil and sin against God? And he wouldn't do it. And she kept on and on day after day after day. And it says in verse 11, now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. And she caught him, Potiphar's wife, by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. And when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled, she called to the men of her household, verse 14, and said to them, see, he has brought in a Hebrew to us to make sport of us. He came into me to lie with me, and I screamed. And it came about when he heard that I had raised my voice and screamed that he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside. So she left his garment beside her until his master came home, Potiphar. Then she spoke to him with these words, the Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came into me to make sport of me, and it happened as I raised my voice and screamed that he left his garment beside me and fled outside. Total lie. Now it came about when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, this is what your slave did to me, that his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. What's the deal, God? Why am I here? I mean, how much can I take, God? My brothers hate me. They sell me into slavery. I still am serving you. And then she lies about me, and now I'm in prison. This is in the 1700s BC in Egypt. This is a nasty place. I mean, you can go to some places today in Egypt, and you don't want to be there. I mean, it is not a nice place. He's in this slimy pit, in this dungeon, and he's wondering, what is the deal, God? Hey, what do you do when the punches of life just keep coming? Let me share with you four principles to help you, to help me, when the punches just keep coming. And especially when the punches are not your fault. Principle number one, remember that God's ways aren't our ways. God's ways are not our ways. The scripture makes that clear in Isaiah chapter 55. God says, my ways are not your ways, neither are your thoughts my thoughts, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so far are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, when we are in difficulty, we just naturally ask the question, why? Now, if you're the prodigal son and you left your father's house and you went to the far country, you wasted all your money, your dad's inheritance with wine, women, and loose living, and then you end up in the pit, in the pigsty, you don't have to really wonder, well, why? How did I get here? What, God, what's up? You know what you did. But when you're Joseph and you're in the dungeon and you didn't do anything wrong, it is normal and natural to ask the question, why? Now, the Bible doesn't record that he did, but we know that he did because we know he's human. So it's perfectly normal to ask God, why? And you read in the scripture and you find people in difficulties normally ask God why. Moses asked God why. When he went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go, and Pharaoh said, no, I'm not going to obey the Lord. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And he says, let me tell you what I'm going to do, Moses. I'm going to make your people make bricks without straw. It's going to be worse for them. And Moses went in Exodus chapter 5, at the end of Exodus chapter 5, and he comes before the Lord and he says, Lord, why are you doing harm to your people? And why did you ever send me to Pharaoh? I don't understand this at all. Things aren't better, things are worse. And you haven't delivered your people at all. Moses asked why. Gideon, in the book of Judges, he asked why. The Lord comes to him and says, Hail, mighty man of God, the Lord is with you. He said, well, if the Lord is with us, then why are we under the thumb of the Midianites? Why are all these bad things happening to us if the Lord is with us? Moses asked why. Gideon asked why. Job is filled with the question, why? In Job chapter 3, when Job finally speaks from all the calamity that came into his life, you read five whys in that one chapter. God, why are you doing this to me? Jesus asked why. When he was dying upon the cross, he referenced Psalm 22, verse 1, where it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Hey, it's perfectly normal to ask God why, but here's the thing. It is typically standard to not get an answer to your why. God doesn't normally answer the question why. You read, God never said anything to Job. He never answered Job's why. He didn't answer Gideon's why. He's not in the business of explaining. He's in the business of sustaining. And God's answer, when we ask him why, and it's okay to ask God why, you don't demand answers from God, but you can bring your questions to the Lord. But just know this, the response from God is 100% of the time, it's this. My child, you can trust me. My child, you can trust me. So with our whys, we just need to know, hey, it's perfectly normal to ask God why. It's typically standard to not get an answer to our why. But thirdly, it's greatly reassuring to know that God knows why. That's why God says, you can trust me, because I know what I'm doing. I know the why. God knew exactly. Now, he does tell Moses, Exodus chapter 6, he does tell Moses what is going on, why he's doing what he's doing, what he's planning to do through Pharaoh. He lets Moses in on that, but that's not typically how God responds. God's response is, my child, just trust me. I like what the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 46. The Lord says this, remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country, truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn-minded who are far from righteousness. God is in control. God knows what he's doing. So in your difficulty, in your pit, as Joseph was in a pit, in a prison, just know, God knows why. He knows what's going on. He hasn't lost your address. He knows exactly what he is doing. As Babby Mason sings in that wonderful song, God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind, so when you don't understand, when you can't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. Very first principle, when the punches keep coming, remember that God's ways aren't our ways. Second principle, determine to be faithful and bloom where you're planted. That's the thing about Joseph. If we wanted to kind of put just an epitaph on his life, just a summation of his life, Joseph was a guy who was faithful to God through thick and through thin and who bloomed where he was planted because he was planted in a place he didn't want to be. Joseph never wanted to go to Egypt, but God put him there. Joseph didn't want to be in Potiphar's house, but God put him there. Joseph didn't want to be in the prison, but God put him there. And he didn't have any control over those things. He ended up in those spots because God is a sovereign God. And so he said, well, okay, what am I going to do here? I know what I'm going to do. I find myself in Potiphar's house. I'm going to be the best slave this guy has ever seen. I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. I find myself in the prison. I'm going to be the best prisoner this prison has ever seen. And that's what it says in chapter 39, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And the chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Number one slave in Potiphar's house, number one trustee in the prison house. Now, it would have been easy for Joseph to say, I quit, forget it. I mean, God, I was trusting you and I was serving you even when my brothers threw me in a pit and I was praying and praying and praying and I wanted to be delivered, I wasn't delivered. But Lord, now you've put me into Egypt as a slave. So I said, okay, I'm gonna trust you, I'm gonna serve you. And so I was doing that. But now I'm in prison and all this serving you is not getting me anywhere. And I quit, I throw in the towel. I say with Job's wife, curse God and die. Would have been very easy for Joseph to have done that, but he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He continued to trust. He continued to serve. He continued to praise God. He was faithful. He bloomed where he was planted. He couldn't control his circumstances. He could just control how he responded to his circumstances. I love this quote. I heard it years and years ago by Chuck Swindoll. He said this, the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think, say, or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. Joseph chose to have an attitude of gratitude. He chose to serve God, to trust God, to stay faithful to God, no matter what happened, no matter how many punches came his way. Hey, let me ask you a couple of key questions. Question number one, in your life, in your difficulties, will you serve God no matter what? If your marriage fails, will you still serve God? If you lose your job, will you still serve God? If you get hurt and you can't play sports anymore as a high school athlete, or you can't drive anymore, as a friend of mine who was having problems with seizures and they wouldn't let him drive anymore, that's a bummer to not be able to drive anymore. If something happens to you, and you get lied about and you lose your job, will you still praise God in the midst of all kinds of difficulties? I believe it was Adrian Rogers who said this, you can tell the size of a Christian by what it takes to stop him. You know, in the book of Job, that was the whole situation with Job. Job wasn't privy to the conversation that God and Satan were having, but Job was the centerpiece of it. And the Lord said to Satan one day, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like Job on the face of the whole earth. He is blameless. He loves me. He walks with me. And this is what Satan said in Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has and he will surely curse you to your face. Satan says to God, God, the only way you can get followers is by bribing them. The only reason that Job serves you, The only reason that he fears you and puts you first is because you bless him. You're his sugar daddy, and if you take away the sugar, he will curse you to your face. You know what we find out in the book of Job? Job feared God and served God for nothing. He was hurting. He's real. He's a person. Joseph was hurting. He's real. He's a person too. But they were faithful and they served God for nothing. What about you? What about you? Second question, will you be faithful until death? That's what the scripture says. From the lips of the Lord Jesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, he says to the church in Smyrna, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Faithful unto death. Hey, regardless of what happens, Joseph, if you go from the house of Potiphar to the prison house, and from the prison house, if you had gone to death, would you still be faithful? Would you still praise me? Would you be faithful until death? He would have been, because he was faithful to God. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. That's the most important thing. That's what God is looking for, faithful servants. Doesn't say that a man be found successful. Doesn't say that a man be found powerful. Doesn't say that a man be found creative or ingenious. Faithful. Faithful. Determined to be faithful and to bloom where you're planted.
As Pastor Jeff has pointed out, it's so critical to be found faithful, even in the midst of our trials. You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve today, and the message, Rolling with the Punches. It's from his new series, Life Goes On. And I would imagine that there would be a number of people listening to this broadcast today, maybe you, who are having such a tough time rolling with the punches, that maybe you just want to throw in the towel. Now, that's a lot of boxing analogies, but it's true. Centuries ago, Jerusalem was destroyed, and now strangers invaded their land. And the Israelites had given up under the weight of their grief and their pain and their heartache. They were in tearful despair, and they had waited so long that they just wanted to quit. If the bottom seems to be dropping out of your life, do you want to say, I quit, I'm done? Pastor Jeff Shreve has written a brand new book that can turn that idea on its head. It's called Life Interrupted: How to Face a New Normal. And it'll give you encouragement, biblical insight, and inspiring truth that you can use to be sustained through the tough times and come out joyful in your new normal. The book is also our thank you gift for your support to From His Heart this month of $20 or more. To get this helpful new resource, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org to request the book, Life Interrupted. Now listen, if you're able to give a gift of $40 or more, we'll also send you Pastor Jeff's new series, Life Goes On. Again, simply call 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org. Pastor Jeff receives no income from this ministry. Everything you give goes to help us to expand this ministry around the world. Thank you for helping us to encourage you and many others whose lives go on even through the tough times of life. God bless you. And thank you for listening today to the message, Rolling with the Punches. And I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be here on Monday for part two of this encouraging lesson. Here's just a hint of what we'll learn then.
God's ways aren't our ways. Determined to be faithful and to bloom where you're planted. Don't let your heart get bitter and wait on the Lord. Rolling with the Punches.
That's next time when we again open up God's Word to share real truth, love, and hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. go to fromhisheart.org.